If we're living a true Christian expression, our lives will be modeled after Jesus. And it's amazing how different at times that we can live our lives from the life that Jesus lived. The vision of your life and my life is Jesus. Are you looking for how to live? Are you looking for a vision in life? I want to just suggest to you today that the simplified version is this. It's Jesus. It is Jesus. The foundation of the church, the life that we're to live, it is Jesus. And our eternal destiny, Romans 8:29 says that we're to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. This is the aim. This is discipleship. This is following Him, being conformed to the likeness of the Son. Jesus is not only to be worshipped, but also to be followed. Jesus is not only to be worshipped, but to be followed. I want my life to follow the way He is. I want to live my life in a way that reflects and emulates and imitates the life of Jesus Christ. But how can we do that and how can we live that if we're not reading the red? How can we do that? There's no possible way. It's a patterning after Jesus. You know, my children will be patterned after me and my wife. We can't help it. They will be patterned after us. The things that we do, the things how we live, they will pattern themselves. And hopefully after 20 years of that, they'll be good. They'll be better off than not. There'll be things that they'll have to shake free of in 20 years, right? Things that mom and dad didn't have that they don't want to do, right? Anyone who's a child knows that. Of course, my parents are sitting in the front row and I want to be exactly like them. In every way possible. But there is a patterning after Jesus, and we have to take seriously, if we are disciples of Jesus, to follow in what Jesus has said and who Jesus is. It shocks me at times how I don't follow Jesus. And it shocks me at times how you don't follow Jesus. It shocks me the concepts that I get in my mind and the attitudes that come to me that I justify how I live. It shocks me about me. It shocks me, and I won't even get into specifics, but I'm saying, Jesus, I want to look at how you lived and I want to do that. I don't want to do what's right in my own eyes. I want to look at the Word of God and consume that Word and say, I want to live the way that you live, Jesus. It's time to get back to Jesus. Amen? It's time to read the red and read it carefully and read it slowly. John 1:9 says that Jesus is the light that gives all men light. He is the one. He is the shining example of light. And I hear the heart of the Father saying, for us, the church, Hope Community Church, to come into the light, to put off the darkness and to look to the one who is light, to gaze into the one that is light, the one that is shining bright. And I have to ask myself, and Christy and I, as we've been praying and we've been trying to give ourselves more intentionally to prayer, don't think we're this super prayer house. It doesn't happen every day. But we've been trying to sit at this piano in our house and just begin to pray and worship. And half the time we don't feel like it, but we're saying, God, we want a vision of light. We want a vision for our family. And we know that this is the only way, is to give ourselves to the Word and give ourselves to prayer. Do we have a vision for living in the light? The world is dark. If you have your Bibles, open to Matthew 5. We're going to read a little bit about what Jesus said. Matthew 5, verse 14. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this. He says, speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to us, and he says, you are the light of the world. Say that with me. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Point number two this morning is what Jesus said. He said, you are the light. Tell somebody next to you, you are the light. Go ahead, tell them. You are the light. I am the light. So here we have in this passage, at the beginning of the Beatitudes, in this, or after the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount here, Jesus, the one who is the light of the world, declaring to us that we are the light. It isn't just He that is the light. It is us. It is you and me that is the light of the world. Jesus has some serious faith. That was supposed to be funny. I put a little smiley face in my notes, which means laugh. I need to give you your cues. Jesus has some serious faith. Thank you. Jesus has some serious faith. Okay, enough. Enough, please. You're killing me. Isn't that just like the church, though? Like, we learn our little, how it works, you know, clap here, do this there. Anyways, I appreciate it. John 1:9 says that Jesus is the light that gives all men light. How many know if you're walking in the light, you cannot hide the light? You cannot hide light. You cannot hide light. Jesus gives the vision that we're to bring light to a whole house. And I had a revelation. I shared this on a Wednesday night when I shared a few weeks ago. It was over the holidays. And I read this, the part where he says, you know, you don't put it in a basket, but you put it on a stand and it brings light to the whole house. And I saw us, I saw you, I saw me bringing light to the homes that we went to for Christmas. That literally when we walked into those difficult family situations, we literally brought the light of God with us. Did that happen for anyone? I had, you know, Pastor Gary was making fun of Facebook last week, which I laughed the hardest probably about the ridiculous things that people write on there. You know, I'm thinking about going to the bathroom or whatever, you know. And I was looking at my Facebook, you know, it gives the friends like what they're doing. And Kathy here, I probably shouldn't say who it was. I saw on her thing, what I had done was I said, this, there'll be times over the Christmas break that you're going to have to go into the bathroom and you're going to have to sit on the toilet and you're going to have to pray for the light of God to rise up within you because you're in such a difficult situation. And I read on her little thing, she said, I'm in the bathroom praying. And I'm sure many of you had to go into the bathroom and pray. But it's a time for us to shine bright. And God gives us this revelation of a lamp on a stand, bringing light wherever we go. When you enter your house, filling your own house with light. How many know that sometimes your own house can be the hardest house to light? If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. It can be the best place to bring your light. It can be the hardest place to bring your light. And even in our minds, sometimes we think that we don't have to bring it there because, oh, well, they did this or I did that or my kids are driving me nuts. And that excuses me from being a light. It isn't an excuse. Jesus clearly says that we're the light of the world. He calls us to this place to shine bright. And in my own life and in my own heart, I'm saying, God, I don't want to have any more excuses. I want to be bright. I want to be bright. You enter your workplace. Do you fill it with light? You know, you enter restaurants. We walk on the streets. Whatever we do. Do we see ourselves as bringing light? Do we see ourselves as the sent ones, as the messengers of Jesus Christ, bearing His light through us? Many people look for their purpose in life and what they're supposed to do up here. And what I mean by up here is I mean, am I supposed to be an accountant? Am I supposed to be a pastor? Am I supposed to be this? Am I supposed to do that? And I say that many of us are missing the mark and missing the point. God says, I want your vision to come down here. I want you to look for vision down here. Do you have a vision for brightness in your life? Because if you have a vision for being bright and shining, your whole life will change because you'll see through lenses that go beyond just specifics, that transcend all of that, that give overarching purpose to your whole life. I've often said, if Pastor Gary fired me tomorrow, which I hope he doesn't, maybe he's listening somehow online. I don't think we do that in real time, but he's speaking. I believe that I will be okay because I don't work for Pastor Gary first. I work for him second. I work for the Lord first. And my overall purpose in life, if I'm surrendered and I'm living, he causes me to do the next thing. I would hope that I could go work at the mud house and serve coffee and be fulfilled because I have a vision for light in my own life. Why are we always looking up here? Let's look down here and get into the cup and find out who we're really to be. And get a vision for who we are. Who cares if you make $70,000 a year? Who cares if you make 50? Maybe you're called to make 20. Maybe you're called to make enough to pay your bills. I don't know. But what about just vision for living in the light? Am I intense today? I feel a little intense here. Don't be afraid. He says in verse 16, he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." You know, there are many examples of messengers of light in the Bible, but one of the clearest ones is John the Baptist. He's a powerful example of light and brightness, and I'm not going to really get into his whole life. But Jesus said that John was a burning and a shining lamp, John 5:35. He said that John was a burning and shining lamp, and he was a wild and crazy man, as you know, that prepared the way for Jesus and his coming on earth. You know, I was reading in Luke the last few days, and I was reading how John addressed the crowds. It says he addressed the crowds that came to be baptized, and he called them a brood of vipers. "You brood of vipers!" How does that feel? He declares it forcefully to the people that have just come to be baptized. He says, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." He says, "Every tree that doesn't bear fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire." That's his introduction. And isn't it wild that this is who God chose to be the forerunner of Jesus? He didn't choose the nice little guy who everybody thinks is nice. He chose the wild one that wasn't afraid to look crazy and to speak the truth. And I believe that if we're going to be full of light, we have to look at examples like this and say, "I want to be like this. I don't want to be afraid. I want to speak what God tells me to speak, and I want to do what God tells me to do." Don't forget that Jesus said that John was a burning and shining lamp. This just means that Jesus says, "Look at John's life, because it will show you how to live." So on your own, you take time and look out at John the Baptist, how he lived, how he prepared the way for Jesus. God chooses radical men and women to prepare the way for him. Amen? Do you know that Jesus is coming again? 80% of America believe that Jesus is coming again. They don't even know what it means. I don't even know what it means fully. But he is coming again, and I don't understand all the logistics of all of that and how that will all happen. But I will say that we're in the last day generation, a people that God is looking for, those who will pave the way for his return again, who will prepare the church to be bright and shining, ready for him when he comes. Call is going out today for those who will prepare the way, for those who are living brightly. And I want to be one of those. Do you? Point number three is this: growing brighter. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 11. Are you picking this up here? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Luke 11, verse 33. And Jesus says this. He says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but they put it on a stand so that those who enter can see the light." Again, speaking to that issue that we talked to a bit ago. Verse 34, Jesus says this to you, to me: "Your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light." Read that with me. "When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no dark part, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." I want to be wholly bright. How do we grow brighter? Okay, we understand we're the light of the world, we're the city on a hill, all of that. But how do we do it? And I think that Jesus is really clear right here, and he just says to us that one of the steps in that is by carefully guarding your eyes. Church, we have to guard our eyes. We have to guard our eyes by the things that we look at and the things that we give ourselves to. The Bible says that the eyes are the lamp to the whole body. I'd say that that's something pretty important to take note of. It really does matter what we look at, and it really does matter what we give ourselves to. What do we look at? What are you looking at? Is entertainment dulling us? I'm not talking about X-rated entertainment. I'm talking about just plain entertainment. Is overindulging in television or all sorts of things. I don't even want to get into specifics because it's not about that. It's about a heart change. It's about shining brighter. But if we want to be bright, we have to guard the eyes. Say that with me. If we want to be bright, we have to guard the eyes. And I believe that the Lord wants to help the church to walk in victory over sin. We can't do it on our own. But we can't have light and darkness. God is raising up a radical generation, which I believe Tyler's in and a part of. I saw it so clearly over him today. That are not afraid to be set apart. That are not afraid to be set apart. That are okay to forsake the pleasures of the world. That see their lives as being ones of messengers and sent ones. You know, I want my girls to grow up in a home that is full of light. I want them to grow up and in 20 years from now be set apart ones. I have a vision for this for my 4.5-year-old Olivia. I have a vision for this for Emmy, who's 14 months. I want them to grow up in a home where they bear light and they're set apart. And maybe they don't know all the TV shows. And maybe they don't know everything that's going on. But they're set apart for the purposes of God. And that they'll be shining bright lights. Not just pastor's kids. Not just church kids. But radical, glowing, red-headed fire starters. They've got the fire. We just got to get it in the right direction. We got a lot of red fire in my house. And I'm the only brown fire. If anyone wants to adopt, you know, us to adopt any of your children to help me out, that'd be great. That aren't redheads. I'm just kidding. I love redheads. But I'm serious about this. If you're a parent today, I want to encourage you, get a vision of brightness for your kids. If you don't have it, ask him. He wants to give it to you. It's not a little game he's playing. He wants to give us a vision for our children and our families and our friends. So how do we live brightly? We guard our eye gate. And this is so simple, but we consume the Word of God. I mean, eat it. I mean, chew it. I mean meditate on it and marinate in it. That's Pastor Gary's word, marinate. I love it. It's because he marinates so much deer loin. If you have difficulty reading the Bible, I have a three-month solution for you. It's right here on these green sheets. We've set this up for people that have trouble staying on course. There is a Bible reading for every day. We have to be in the Word, church. If we're not in the Word and we're not in the place of prayer and we're not saying, God, I want to be bright, then we're just doing church. And we're just living out here instead of living in here. That word that came forth from Sherry and the whole heart of worship today, I felt like was so powerful and so right on. That God wants us to be living deep on the inside. Deep on the inside. The end times church is going to be a praying church that's living deep on the inside. And I'm not a bearer of doom and gloom. It's going to be a bright day for us. It's going to be good. But it won't be if we're not alive on the inside. You say, well, I've got problems. Well, I say, I've got problems too. I got a lot of problems. So I think sometimes people think that Christy and I live in some sort of worship bubble. I want to tell you, we've got problems. Not her and me, but it's in general. I mean, we have problems like anyone else does, but. And I think it's important that you know that. It's probably been the hardest year we've ever had in our lives. Has anybody else had one of the hardest years you've ever had? It has been one of the hardest years we have ever had in our entire lives. Just this past Friday, I got a phone call from a public defendant from the jail. We have a small rental house that we've had forever. We're not into the rental business. We don't even make a cent on it. The guy who rents from us, who is 2 months behind in rent, has been thrown into jail for one full year. He has no family. He has three dogs. One part pit bull, half something else. You think I'm going over to that house? I find myself on the phone with the city dog collector. That is not a worship bubble, people. I have got problems. There are two cars that the tires appear to not be working in the driveway. You think I'm a slumlord? I'm not. I don't want this house. If you want it, call me. I make you very special price. I am not kidding. I have no idea what to do. And I get the phone call as I'm writing the message. I share that. You think it's funny. This is not funny, people. This is not funny at all. What? There is no smiley face here. Bad people. You're not laughing on cue. I am telling you, I could go on. I don't even know what to do. I mean, what do you do with a house full of junk? With somebody who hasn't paid their rent for 2 months and leaves three dogs? I mean, I can't even get in the house. I can't even find the key. What a great landlord I am. I'm being way too honest here. But the point is this. This is the point. The point is, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of hardship, can you still have a vision for being full of light? And I want to tell you today that it hit me for about 10 minutes. And then I got right back on course. And in my heart, I said, I'm going for God. I'm not going to be kept down by the cares of this world. And they're many. I'm not ignoring them. They're real. And we have to deal with the cares of this world. But I believe that we can be full of the fire of God even in the midst of hardship and trouble. Amen? Amen. I really do. I really do. If we see that the difficulties that we're facing are preparation, Do you see the difficulties you're facing, whether they're inflicted by yourself or by outside sources, as a way of preparation for becoming the bride that is ready for Jesus Christ's return? I'm serious about it. I'm serious about it. Do you turn your trouble into prayer? Jesus knows all about the trouble. Will we keep going in the midst of this? I'm going to end with this. Revelation 3. Turn there real quick if you could. Jesus speaking to the church of Philadelphia. Because I want to pray for the church. I want to pray for us here today. And he says this. I'm going to go through this really, really, really quick. He says to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. He says the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David. Who opens and no one will shut. Who shuts and no one opens. He says this, Jesus speaking to this church. And he's speaking to us. I think there's similarity in it. He says, I know your works. Behold, I have set you before an open door which no one is able to shut. He says this, I know that you have but little power. Say that with me. But little power. And yet you have kept my word. And have not denied my name. He says, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, which I did not know what that was. I imagined a very evil place. But it's those who oppose the truth. Those that oppose the truth is referring to the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. That Jesus has loved us. Those who are not in the truth will come and will bow down and will say that they will learn that God has loved us, that Jesus has loved us. He says, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want to encourage you. Those of you who have little power right now, who are in the midst of adversity, in the midst of trouble, you are prime and ready for brightness in your life. This isn't about being super spiritual. This is about saying, I am weak and I need God to bring His light to me. Don't miss what I'm saying on this, church. This is not about having it all together. This is about admitting our weakness. He says that. Jesus looks on this church. He says, you've got little power, but you've kept my word and you haven't denied my name. And you've been patiently enduring what you've gone through. And he says, because of that, I will keep you in the days that are to come, in the trouble that lays ahead. We don't have to fear the trouble that's upon us, do we? We don't have to fear the storm that's coming. I want to encourage you. And if you stand with me this morning, I want to encourage you who have little power, that God sees your weakness as beautiful. Be honest and offer your weakness to Him. And don't hide your failure and your shame. Bring it before Him as an offering. And say, God, I want to grow brighter, brighter, brighter. Let's just lift our hands right now before the throne of God. Before His throne. He is here. Jesus is here. I pray this, Father. Those who are suffering, those who are going through extreme hardship, failure, difficulty, things they never imagined they'd go through, I pray their weakness will literally be brought forth as an offering before you, God. That we will not feel that we are not able to be used, but God, you look on it as a beautiful thing. And I pray this, Father. In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask this. We've got a few more minutes, and I felt led to do this. But everyone in this room who wants an increased vision of living brightly, of shining bright, I'm going to ask you to join me in the front here. And we're going to worship and we're going to pray for just about 5 minutes. We're going to make this about 5 minutes. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you say, God, I want to live brightly, I'm going to ask you to come. And we're going to agree and join together as a community of people. I'm going to ask my wife to just come up here by me. We are weak, God. We are so weak. We're so weak, but we want to be so bright. We want to live brightly. Jesus, we want to be bright. You said we could be, and we want to be bright. We want to be bright. Just lift your hands to heaven, and we're going to just ask this. We're just going to ask this. We're just going to ask this. Jesus, that we would be holding fast to the truth. We would be holding fast to the truth. I speak to those who've been struggling with secret sin and bondages and darkness, and I declare to you that the light of Jesus has come to break the chains off of you. Those things that have literally neutralized and paralyzed you have stopped you from moving forward. In the name of Jesus, we break them off in agreement this morning. Where there hasn't been light, we call forth the light of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for agreements with darkness to be broken off. And we pray for the release of the captives this morning. And we pray that this community will shine, will shine, will shine, will shine, will shine. Why don't you go ahead and pray over the men real quick. Just keep your hands lifted, and I'm going to pray over the women. We're going to do one other thing.
God, I just ask that this morning, God, that you will do a new thing in these men. Like we said this morning, I pray that you will stir and awaken love within them for their Savior, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray that, God, that there will be an excitement in their bellies from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, that they will be more excited about what you're doing, more excited about the word than they are about a football game, about getting a deer, about everything that men want to do. I believe it, and I see it in these men in this church. I pray, God, that they will step forward and stand in the place that you have called them to stand in their families, that their children will look and see that Daddy is a new man this year. And I pray, God, that you will put a new mindset in these men, God, a new heart. I pray, God, that you will awaken love, awaken, rejuvenate them, God, and give them a confidence that they can do this. Give them a confidence, God, that this is a new year and this is a new day and you're doing something different in them. And whatever has happened in the past stays in the past. Stays in the past. It's a new day. I pray excitement. And I pray that they stand there and they're like, what is going on inside? Something's going on. I'm really excited about reading the Word. I'm really excited about reading Revelation. What in the world is going on with me? I see it. I see it. The newness for God's Word. The newness of being with Him in His presence. I see you men driving in your cars and just talking with the Lord. And He gives you visions and He speaks to you. I see it. To some of you, even almost run off the side of the road because you can't believe that He's talking to you. It's a new season, and it's a new day for you men.
Yes.
We just pray that.
Yes. But we pray that the men will stay on the road and not be killed. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the women. I want all the women to lift your hands right now. Women, I pray that you will have a vision of purity and holiness in your home. I pray that you will have a vision for your husbands, that you will pray for them more than you will chastise them. I pray that you will pray for them and you will encourage them. And the things that are bothering you about them, those bad things they're doing, I pray you will pray that the Father of Heaven will intervene and will change their hearts. I pray that women in this church will have a spirit of prayer on them. In the name of Jesus, that you will know the day and the times that you live in, and you will enter into that new place with your family and your children. I pray this in the name of Jesus. I pray encouragement over the women, for those that are depressed and longing for what in the world are you created to do, I pray that you will get a vision of brightness, a vision of light, especially for the stay-at-home moms who struggle with what am I here for? What am I doing? I haven't talked to an adult all day. I pray you will breathe in breath of heaven and give vision and light to what you're to be and to do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we're going to end our time here. I want you to get into groups of 3 or 4 or 5 little circles, and we're just going to pray this over each other. It's okay. You don't have to know the people. Just grab hands real quick. We're a family. We're a community. If you're still in the rows, just get with someone. We want you to be involved in this too. And we're going to pray for a vision of brightness and a vision of light. Give us this vision. Go ahead and pray out loud. Don't pray quietly. Go ahead and pray out loud. Give us a vision of Jesus. Still praying, you can go ahead. If the Lord is leading you to pray longer, go ahead. If you're ready to go, you're free to go. You're dismissed. I pray the brightness of God over everyone. If you want a reading guide, grab one of these reading guides to help you stay on track. They're here in the front on the stairs. Grab one of those. Be here Wednesday night. We're going to do more praying. We're going to talk real practically about living this out.